when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
What up? Psych. We are not doing that. Welcome to the Complex Sports Podcast. I'm here with my guy, Adam Caparel. It's a different voice, as you know, to start the podcast.
Conspicuously absent right now.
Yeah. Our friend Chops is in Nebraska in the cornfields for some reason, unannounced, you know. So, you know, I'm going to start things off. We got a big podcast today. We got, ironically, Chops' best favorite athlete, Adam. That's his favorite athlete.
His NFL BFF, yes, Baker Mayfield is on the podcast, and it's incredibly ironic that Chops is unable to record with us on this Monday when we're doing it, when we recorded an interview with his, again, his dream quarterback, Baker Mayfield. It's a fun one, quick 15-minute conversation with Baker, but we touched on a bunch of different topics in it, but it is ironic that Chops is unable to record and talk to us from the remote location that he's in currently while we're trying to tape this and knock this out for Tuesday. Especially after he spent several days in Cleveland at the goddamn NFL draft. And so he should have stories and tales to tell from going around and taking everything in. I hope that he and Roger had a picture that he posted to Instagram. I hope that he had some incredible rocking out to Kings of Leon and other nonsense that was going on in the NFL draft and other stupid shit you can do in Cleveland, that deplorable city. But yes, it is ironic that Chops is not on this most Cleveland of podcasts.
Yes. So all the Cleveland listeners that I know, all Chops' listeners and Cleveland Browns fans that are listening to the beginning of this podcast, don't blame me if I'm slandering Cleveland and the Browns and not Baker because he came out today. It's not my fault. Chops didn't show up. He didn't show up. And the show goes on, man.
It's an egregious absence for Chops. That's all we can describe it as. Yeah. But we'll try and cover for him.
So should we just start with the Clown of the Week? Get that out the way first.
So all that being said at the top, our Clown of the Week goes to our co-host Chops for not being prepared to do the podcast. And again, on this most Cleveland of podcasts we may ever do in the history of this podcast, he can't be here to talk about his experience at the NFL draft, how the Browns did a good job drafting with their class. And again, all the sights and sounds from his time at the draft. You helped put out a cool little social media video. Tell him about that, Young Zion. But so Clown of the Week goes to Chops for not being prepared to do this taping on Monday. So we're going to bust his balls incessantly until next week.
That was absolutely terrible, Chops. This is bad, man. This is bad. And we're going to let the audience know. We're not holding anything back. We're a transparent group. But yes, Chops just came back or is coming back from the NFL draft in Cleveland, in his hometown. We definitely check it out on Complex Sports. We got to interview some of the first round picks and do a couple fun videos, but that was cool. But let's hop into things. It was a busy week. It was a very, very busy week. Aaron Rodgers kind of started off last week kind of crazy, demanding a trade. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess the question I'll throw to you is, do you believe that Aaron Rodgers is a certified diva?
I think it's warranted.
Let's be frank here. This is some diva-esque behavior. This is some diva shit right now he's pulling.
It's definitely diva. He's definitely a diva, but it's warranted. I think it's warranted. You can't – he has to be a diva at this point. Like, what does he owe to that franchise? He gave them a Super Bowl. He just had an MVP season. And they're still not going to do anything to make him get to the ultimate goal of winning another championship.
And they took the ball out of his hands when, he could have kind of, you know, dictated what was going to go down at the end of the fourth quarter. So, I mean, yes, the transgressions and the frustrations for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are well documented. And I kind of agree with you a little bit there, Young Zion, that he does, I guess, have the quote-unquote right to kind of pull this shit and dictate his terms. He's been depending on how you grade Brett Favre, the greatest quarterback in Packers history. He's inarguably one of the top three quarterbacks still in the game, and should, with what he's been able to attain in the game, dictate where he wants to go if he wants to leave. But the Packers digging in their heels and saying, fuck you, we ain't trading you, and all these teams calling to inquire about if he's available, telling them to fuck off, is going to get real spicy and real messy and real dramatic real quick, and it should be a lot of fun. But if you want to call Aaron Rodgers a bit of a diva, I think you can. I think it's warranted right here.
Yeah, but, you know, if after the draft, I'm thinking, you know, we got a second-round pick, the New York Giants. Aaron Rodgers is available, man.
A second round, you're gonna trade? Yeah, second round pick. Yeah, you know, that sounds about right.
We got two first round picks next year. Two first round picks. Number one, the draft the Giants did was exceptional, but we'll get to that. But two first round picks for Aaron Rodgers, and we'll give you like three more. No, we'll give you like three more picks, and maybe a couple players we're throwing in there, man. Go get him, man. If we get Aaron Rodgers, we're winning the Super Bowl. I don't care.
Okay, but who? But if in your hypothetical scenario here, what do you actually legitimately, like a legit trade here for the Giants to go get your boy Aaron Rodgers? It's not two first-round picks. You got to give up more than that, pal.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course. We'll give him the two first-round picks.
So you're giving up your boy Saquon Barkley. You're giving up your boy Evan Ingram. You're giving up who else?
Danny Dimes is going shipping. You're right. We're giving up NFL Pro Bowler Evan Ingram. We'll give you Evan Ingram. We'll give you definitely our two first-round picks next year. We'll give you our next... We'll split up like the Nets did. Every other year, we'll give you a first-round pick for like the next 4 years. So we'll give you like six first-round picks. And yeah, the rest you can work out on yourself. That's enough for me. If we're giving you six first-round picks, give me Aaron Rodgers, man. Come on.
Okay. And the Packers will never do that trade in a million goddamn years. So you can keep hanging on to that pipe dream, pal.
They're silly. But yes, we like I said, the Giants, I think, had a great draft. But in general... I mean, your Jets drafted Zach Wilson, another questionable pick for me, in my opinion. All this hype around him is capped to me. Justin Fields somehow became, what was he, the fourth quarterback off the draft? The fourth?
The fourth.
That's unacceptable. That is very unacceptable to me, but we'll see. I think the Jets will fail. I thought you had a good second first round pick.
The Jets always fail. It's not, I think, the Jets will fail. So get it. So correct that, pal. That's number one. Number two, overall, the Jets did have a good draft. I don't want to spend too much time talking about them because they're still going to be a shit team next year. I'm kind of with you. I'm not big on the Zach Wilson hype. I wanted the Jets to keep Sam Darnold. But overall, I think Joe Douglas did a pretty damn good job. And all my friends and family who are Jets fans were very hyped and very excited for what the Jets were able to get, because it's not an original observation. I'll give Mike Greenberg all the credit on ESPN, but essentially Joe Douglas got Zach Wilson more talent and more help to work with in year one than Sam Darnold ever had in 3 years with the Jets.
Yep, that's true.
But the Jets weren't the only winners. I mean, the Jaguars obviously got their guy. You know, we just put out grades on Complex Sports, so go check them out. Ian Warden, who does all our NFL draft coverage, has graded every team's draft classes. And he had some high grades for the Browns. Chops, his Browns got an A. They had a really good draft class.
Browns got a C for you.
Why?
I don't, because Chops didn't show up today. That's what they get.
So they get demoted because of his absentee. Yep,
nobody could get bad it. They get a C. And they'll be
okay, so we know some of the winners. Again, it's depending on how you grade stuff here and there. Some people have the Panthers high. Some people will say the Bears should be high because of getting Justin Fields. Some people would rate the Patriots a little bit differently. We, a couple of sports, again, with Ian Warren's gradings, had the Patriots a little bit lower. I think the C-plus range, if I remember correctly. But give me your biggest winner and your biggest loser for the draft there, Young Zion.
My biggest winner is a biased New York Giants just because we got another pick. We got another pick for next year. That's my biggest winner. I don't really care about anybody else because we had a solid draft, in my opinion. And David Gutterman is very underrated. But I will say this. This is the biggest loser to me. The Dallas Cowboys. Because there's a special place in hell for Jerry Jones and who's Howie, whatever his name is, the Eagles owner.
Yeah.
They colluded to trade their picks just so the Giants couldn't get Devontae Smith. That was the worst. That was one of the sickest things I've ever seen in the NFL. Just pure sick act.
The in-division trade was incredibly weird and unique and added a wrinkle. I don't... I think you're given, you know, it was some weird wheeling and dealing for sure. Something we may not see for a long time because it just definitely doesn't happen. And the Eagles, again, all the trading, all the wheeling and dealing, just to get the Devontae Smith was really, really weird and really awkward. But essentially, I guess with the Eagles maneuvering, essentially blocked the Giants from getting a crack at a higher end wide receiver. And you, I want to ask you, are you that happy with Kadarius Toney having him to the roster when the Giants had some more obvious needs in the draft?
People say it was a reach. I'm kind of fine with it because Kadarius Toney is kind of like, watching him play is like he's kind of like the perfect receiver we need. He's flexible. You could play him in the slot. You could put him in the backfield for special plays and whatnot. I think he's a perfect kind of weapon we need. He's fast, shifty. We don't really have that. I think we have everything else with Galladay, Slayton. And so I think the Giants are going to be that offense. It depends on Daniel Jones, of course. But that offense special.
He's got some weapons to work with. The other teams that quickly impressed me before we kind of move off the draft, because it's kind of been talked to death now at this point when this podcast comes out on Tuesday. True. But I thought the Dolphins did a good job. I like what they did, and it pains me because I've always hated the Dolphins only slightly less than the Patriots. But I thought the Dolphins had a really good draft, getting Jalen Waddle, Jalen Phillips, who was a bit of a, you know, hit or miss with the injury history, but also the, you know, Eichenberg and the tackle pick they got later on. But I like their draft haul. And another team that I thought low-key did a pretty good job too was, listen, the Chargers, I thought, got obviously Rashawn Slater. Most people had him rated above Penei Sewell. It depends on how like crazy you want to get your draft nicks and what they think about those guys. But I thought also getting Asante Samuel, which was a good pick for them. They need some cornerback. Asante Samuel Jr. They have smaller cornerbacks here. Some guys I know in our complex sports gradings of all the teams didn't give the Chargers a high grade. I would have given them a little bit higher than what Ian gave them, which is a B-, but I like what they did. But the worst jobs have to go to the Packers for their continued shit show of not getting Aaron Rodgers any help. They can somehow convince him to stick around town. And then the Seahawks had the second fewest picks in a draft since 1967.
Yeah, I didn't see anything from them.
Yeah, they had three picks the entire draft. That was the fewest picks of any team, or the second fewest picks, I should say, since 1967. And if Russell Wilson is disgruntled the way Aaron Rodgers kind of is, and you're trying to get him help, and he desperately needs some help, you can't be doing that. So that was just a horrendously shitty job by the Seahawks. Clearly nasty. Didn't have enough picks, didn't do enough wheeling and dealing to acquire some picks here and there, and didn't really add much to a roster that definitely needs a bit of infusion of talent. So, and also the Raiders. What the fuck are the Raiders doing?
That's
Death Taxes and John Gruden and Mike Mayock doing stupid shit. So those are some winners and losers right there for me.
I will say we are getting old if we just watched Asante Samuel Jr. get drafted. That is crazy.
And Patrick Surtain Jr. also the second. So it's like, all these young guys, or these guys who had really good NFL careers, seeing their sons come in. I'm significantly older than you, so you shouldn't feel that old, pal, but it definitely makes me feel a bit older now.
I am old. But yeah, next topic we got to talk about is the NBA, obviously. Obviously, a lot of Bucks fans were in my mentions yesterday.
As they should be.
They shouldn't have been.
Why shouldn't they have been? Giannis absolutely annihilated the Nets, and you cannot play him one-on-one the way the Nets did. That was egregious. You need more help. Giannis, go ahead. Giannis, defend your team. Go ahead.
This was my tweet that went viral yesterday. I said, Giannis dropped 50. Kyrie couldn't buy a bucket. He was fasting. He's not empty stomach. Can't drink or eat. James Harden. There was no James Harden. They had 16 turnovers. And the Bucks won by 3 points.
Okay.
By 3 points. And can we actually count down, write down Giannis for dropping 49 points against the Nets every single time and hitting 5 threes?
No, you can't. You can't put him down for that. But you also can't, if you're going to face the Bucks in the postseason. And listen, I'm going to put this caveat here. Everything we've seen in the regular season and what we're going to see down the stretch with still guys missing and everything like that, like, it's really tough to put a lot of stock in the NBA regular season, especially this one, which has been the craziest and weirdest of all time, and have it translate into definitive, you know, takes and observations and outcomes, if you will, in the postseason. So I'm not going to go too crazy about what the Bucks and Nets did on Sunday, and they're playing again on Tuesday night in a rematch. So, but it should be noted that it's probably not ideal to guard Giannis one-on-one the way the Nets did. And he may not hit five threes, and he may not go for 49 points, and he may not shoot as efficiently as he did on Sunday. But you got to put another guy in him, and you can't let him run wild. And the mid-range game is improving, and he is a little bit better shooter, and he is still a force to deal with. And again, if the Nets are going to face the Bucks in the playoffs, they ain't allowing him to. They ain't going to have him on one-on-one. They're going to need plenty of help, and need to have guys flashing and just giving someone else a little bit of help, because the Nets, I mean, again, it'll be a different story when Harden's back in the lineup. But Christ, that was Giannis worked.
Who killed DeAndre Jordan? And I think
Blake
live with that. No, he didn't actually kill Blake.
The that up and under Blake, he had was very
that
nice.
Was cool, but Blake actually did a pretty good job on him. If you look at the numbers, I think he scored 39 of his points against DeAndre Jordan, and Blake, he was actually like maybe 1 for 4, 1 for 3. Like, but I think at the end of the day, we're not worried about that, because if Giannis, if we go into a playoff series, Giannis is not hitting four threes. He's not hitting every jumper like he did yesterday.
No, that's gonna 100%. You're going to force him to shoot and beat you from outside. He did it yesterday.
If Giannis, let's say, scores 36 yesterday, I think the Nets win comfortably. So, like, they needed all of those points. And adding the fact that Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday shot the lights out the ball, too, I think. That's not, I'm not worried about that. Even, I know they do play today, like when the podcast comes out again. I'm hoping the Nets rest their players, because I do not want to show them too much anyway. I'd be fine with losing again. But I'm not scared of the Bucks. I am not scared of the Bucks. I think Philly is still a worse matchup for us.
That's a fair assessment. Again, no one's going to trust the Bucks until they actually do anything in the postseason. So I get that 100%. And again, the point I wanted to make before going on the little spiel about how the Nets defended Giannis was that, yeah, it's really tough to put a lot of stock into this. And the other thing we mentioned, again, no James Harden for the Nets, who hopefully will be back by the playoffs. But I mean, who fucking knows now with his hamstring? So
we'll be back by
You can't put a ton of stock into it. It was a great performance by Giannis. I don't recommend guarding him one-on-one. He's probably not going to beat you with jump shooting the way he did time and time again. But that was a hell of a performance on Sunday. And yes, you are accurate and correct and not going too crazy and overreacting over obviously one regular season NBA game that really isn't going to matter in a few weeks anyway.
And those nuts Bucks fans talking about, you can't expect KD to drop 42 every. I can expect Kevin Durant to drop 42.
Kevin Durant. Yes, you can sign up for Kevin Durant dropping 30 pretty easily, and 40, as we've seen with this Nets team, is easily attainable for him anytime he wants.
Like that, like he, and I don't even think he was on yesterday. He took 30 shots. Usually if he's going to score 40, he might do it in 20 shots.
I mean, listen, Giannis scored 49 and 38 shots. It wasn't like, you know, he shot well, but like that's volume shooting right there. That's a lot. I mean, Christ, his usage rate, I think, was almost 50% for the game. That's insane. That's fucking nuts.
But there's bigger problems, I think, than the Nets in the NBA right now. I think the biggest problems is the Lakers. Are the Lakers in trouble? The Lakers are now in the sixth spot, I believe, but tied for the same record as the Blazers in the seventh spot.
They have the tiebreaker over the Blazers right now.
Yep, they have the tiebreaker. They also play the Blazers. They also play the Clippers, I think the Nuggets, the Blazers.
Lakers have an incredibly tough schedule down the stretch. Yeah, their final 8 or 9 games, I think they have a bunch of back-to-backs too. They have one of the hardest schedules in the NBA, and they need to get their shit together ASAP, because I think they've lost, 6 of 7, Young Zion?
Yep, and I think and we just found out today, Monday, that Dennis Schroeder is out for the next 14 games. And the 14 days.
So he's basically back to the playoffs.
And the Lakers are 0-5 without Dennis Schroeder this year. They look horrible against the Raptors without Dennis Schroeder. Kyle Lowry ate them alive, made them feel sorry for not trading for him. Y'all didn't want to give up Talen Horton-Tucker for Kyle Lowry, and now you paid for it. So without Dennis Schroeder, are the Lakers in trouble?
To answer your question, I'm not going to go crazy here. Even if they make slip into the play-in tournament, which LeBron rightfully shit on, I hate the play-in tournament, and LeBron making fun of whoever came up with this idea in the NBA front office was an excellent move by LeBron's part. I hate this goddamn novelty thing. I'm sure it'll be fun when it happens, but the idea of just making shittier teams eligible for the playoffs to me is a bad move by the NBA. But anyway, getting off topic here. Should the Lakers worry a little bit? Yeah, I think they should be a little bit worried. It's still like to figure out how to use Drummond properly with AD back now and LeBron finally back in the lineup, and then not having Schroeder, who obviously has been humming along and playing pretty decently, all things considered, for the Lakers, and not having what's going to be a key piece until basically the playoffs. And you can at this point say, what, Schroeder is the third most important Laker on the team, right? Is that a fair assessment to say,
yeah,
Young Zion?
I think so. I don't think so.
So it's like, should you be concerned about the Lakers? Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I'm not worried about them. Like, you know, again, we've seen LeBron turn the switch on way too many goddamn times to be that worried about this. And who knows, even if they do make it into the play-in tournament, maybe he'll just be extra pissed about having to be there and absolutely sun whatever team they end up playing in the 7-8 game or whatever the case is. But I'd be concerned. Yeah, I mean, that was a bad loss to the Kings on Friday night. And you know how many fucking Raptors were missing from the lineup on Sunday? Like,
yeah.
They had half the goddamn team was out. Yeah, the Raptors had nobody other than Siakam and Lowry. None of their key guys. I mean, essentially, Boucher down the line were available, and it was a really piss poor performance from the Lakers. So I would be concerned a little bit. I wouldn't be worried. I wouldn't be panicked. But you should be concerned.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for them too is that playing game is dangerous. Number one, the play game is awful. LeBron was right. LeBron was completely right. Whoever made it needs to be fired. But I'm not going to lie to you. That playing game is going to be really fire to watch because it becomes March Madness all over again.
No, I mean, we'll all get hyped for it when it happens, especially if it's a good matchup. But I'm saying, like, the novelty of it, like, to me, like, I don't need to have, like, the shitty, you know, Western Conference team still vying for a play-in spot, yeah. The Pacers being alive
but,
in the
but
East.
It,
like,
not even
I don't
that,
have any of this shit.
Not even that. It's like, yo, these guys, there are teams who worked hard to get to the 7th seed, and now there's not only a chance that you drop down to an 8th seed. There's a chance you miss the playoffs if you lose two games. And I hate the way they make the 7th seed play the 8th seed first to determine who's the 8th seed, and then they play the winner of the 9-10 game. That's a terrible format, and your whole season can end with two games.
It's a terrible format. It's a confusing format for people. Like, you have to read the rules a couple times, at least I did, to kind of fully understand when they came out with this shit, you know, basically months and months ago. I just hate the idea that, again, you're prolonging shittier teams being relevant. And I get that you technically make those games between these shitty teams vying for a spot in the top 10. It's technically more relevant basketball because it means more. But, like, I don't need to see, again, these awful teams still being relevant and playing deep into the season. And even though the novelty of this March Madness-like thing for the NBA for the first time ever, or the second time ever because it debuted last summer, we'll get into it. We'll be hyped for it. We'll all be glued to our TVs. I'm just like, to me, it kind of like there's a good argument to say that this devalues the regular season like even a little bit more. And the NBA has a regular season problem, which we've talked about on the podcast previously. And I don't think this play-in tournament comes anywhere close to fixing it or even moderately, you know, checking off one of the things that have to be done to fix the regular season. So LeBron shitting on the play-in tournament was my favorite thing from this weekend in sports.
Adam Silver is definitely still grinning ear to ear because if the Lakers are in the playoff game,
It'll do massive ratings. It'll be great for the NBA. So, like, I'm sure the league office here in New York, up in Park Avenue, is rooting for the Lakers to get the 7th seed because the ratings for that would be through the roof. And to see LeBron in this do or die situation, well, potentially a do or die situation, would be riveting. But you and I, Young Zion, are on Team LeBron. Fuck the play-in tournament, at least until we get to it.
Yes. But either way, my Nets are comfortably already clinched a playoff spot. We will be comfortably watching that game at home. But yeah, we got a big podcast to get to, a big guest, Chops' favorite guest of all time, Baker Mayfield. Just for context, because Chops was actually supposed to provide the context. Baker Mayfield, I had a lot of smoke for Baker Mayfield, but Chops did not set up the smoke. Chops was supposed to throw the alley-oop, and I was going to windmill it. But he never threw the alley-oop because he got scared. And that's not my fault. So I know I've had smoke for Baker Mayfield all season, but I didn't get to display it because of Chops. Just putting that disclaimer out there.
Very important disclaimer because, yes, we were waiting on pins and needles for you to, again, confront the not Wash QB, but the mid QB, as you've called him over the last several years. The mid. But unfortunately, we didn't get to that. But otherwise, a pretty good conversation with Baker Mayfield. Talk football, talk UFOs, talk Sasquatch, and some other stuff. So it was cool that he got to finally roll through. And obviously, this will go down as one of Chops's favorite podcasts of all time, or podcast interviews, I should say, because he ain't on this podcast that much.
Yeah, yeah. Doing his own thing out there in Nebraska cornfields. But let's get to this Baker interview.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
So Baker, let's talk about this body armor campaign. One more. We've seen the commercial. It looks amazing. Star-studded. What's kind of, you've been with Body Armor a while. So what does this particular campaign mean to you? And kind of that one more mantra, you know, we all know you get that grind in, you're out there like that.
Yeah. I first by saying that I was a huge Kobe Bryant fan. So that's really how, I was introduced to the brand and the company. And then that's why I tried it and honestly just fell in love with the product. And then it escalated from there, wound up my marketing manager, Chris Talbot, wound up connecting us with the people at Body Armor. And I'm extremely thankful because it's, you know, the one more mentality, you know, obviously this is a new campaign, but for somebody that, you know, I've been very proud of how I've gotten here. You know, my journey wasn't the easiest one. So it's always been about working extremely hard, one more rep, one more this and that. But when it comes to the actual product, you know, it's, as the years have gone on, I've learned more and more of, you know, what is exactly essential into putting into my body. And so the right food, the right hydration, and obviously, you know, that's the thing with Body Armor and, you know, no artificial, you know, sweeteners, none of that. It's all great, great stuff, packed with electrolytes, coconut water. I mean, it's just, it's perfect for, you know, my job, and it's plain and simple.
You've been in a lot of commercials. We all know that. Is this the best? I don't want to say best because you've had some good ones. This is easily the most star studded though. Usually it's not, you know, you're not with other people usually, like, but like you got Harden in this.
Yeah.
We got, you know, Trae Young. We got everybody in this one.
Yeah. You know, the ones that are the most fun are the ones you get to do with a lot of people. And so like the Nissan Heisman House commercials are great, but those are all guys that are just within the college football range. This is people that has such a wide variety of fans and such an impact that it's very exciting to be a part of it. I mean, you talk about Sabrina, Trey, James, Mookie. I mean, you think about just a few of the names that are involved in this commercial. It's pretty impressive.
Working with all these guys you're doing this campaign, have you gotten a chance to kind of pick their brains a little bit and talk to them about their success? Because obviously, you know, the guys in the Body Armor roster are, you know, stars in other sports. So you just named them off. So just wonder if you got a chance to talk to them about success and, you know, their kind of, you know, hints about how to really make it into and the burst through, you know, while working with them.
No, not exactly. I mean, that's something I really do want to do. I mean, including like Naomi. I mean, she's young and absolutely killing it right now. I mean, I've been close with Christian McCaffrey for a while, but I would love to talk to some of the guys like James and Mookie that are older and have, you know, been seasoned a little bit and gone through some good and bad times, just to, you know, pick their brain on that. But I think that's the best part about Body Armor. It unites a ton of people for a great cause.
Definitely. Baker, I don't know if you can see the shirt.
I see.
Here we go.
Since we're on a podcast for the viewers, here let them know what you're wearing, Chops.
I'm wearing my 1994 vintage brown shirt. Baker, last time I interviewed you, it was on a Body Armor bus in Cleveland in a thunderstorm.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming off a big season.
Wait. First, so Baker, you remember him?
Oh, yeah. On the RV. He came on to the QBRV. Man.
Dang.
Yeah, and we did the whole feature and everything. Yeah.
No, it was awesome. We had it decked out and all body armor stuff.
Yeah, you got the dice and everything. It was fun. There was like board games on there. It was hilarious. It was like just randomly parked in downtown Cleveland. Like, yeah, it was hilarious.
It's just our way of getting out during training camp and the QBRV.
Right. So Baker, we're coming off a big season. How are we feeling? How's the off season going? I know you talked to the media yesterday, but sometimes you don't want to give them everything. We're a little bit cooler than some of the people you probably talked to on the media call. So how are we feeling right now?
I feel great right now. I just been training, getting everything going a little bit earlier. I think I finally found a successful routine for me during last off season. And so was just able to get that started earlier. Like I started working with the trainer that, I'm going to keep for a long time. He's been great. CJ McFarland, he's down there in Texas, but started working with him in like late May, early June of last off season. And this year I was able to get started with him mid-March. So, I mean, I have months of a head start on it. And that's been great for me. I can continue the process of, my nutrition plan and obviously hydration, but then getting started with CJ earlier on is only going to be more beneficial.
And you got obviously one of my probably favorite players, Odell, returning this year. How big is it to kind of, we heard all the nonsense really that, okay, when Odell left, you guys started clicking last year. How are you guys going to, try to get on the same page this year and excel with Odell in the offense as well?
Yeah, no, for me, it was learning a new offense. Everybody was last year, and we didn't have an actual offseason. We learned everything over Zoom meetings, and so there were no reps in the beginning. And so we were learning as we were going on. And I think you saw the biggest difference in our success as a team from the first half of the year to the second half, because we were more comfortable within the system. And it just so happened that the timing of when he got hurt was around about the halfway mark. It was week 7. So it was just unfortunate. We had a bye week right after our 8th game, and we're able to sit down and kind of, pick apart what we were doing well, what we weren't, and what we needed to do. And so it was unfortunate timing wise, but with it going into the same system this year and not having to learn a new one, I think, we're both excited. I talked to him, his rehab's going well, and we're both excited to hit the ground running whenever he's ready to roll.
Did I read this correctly, that this is the first time you've had a head coach for 2 straight years since Bob Stoops? Is that possible?
Yep.
How is that possible? Yeah. How is that possible?
Just weathered the storm a little bit. Like I said, it hadn't been the journey that I exactly would have drawn up, but I wouldn't change it. I think it's made me have to experience a lot more different personalities, but definitely a lot more change and learning. And I think, when you have to put yourselves in different shoes each day, I think that's good for you.
Definitely, definitely. Adam, Adam's a big UFO guy. You want to ask about the UFO?
Well, no, since you did bring it up, or the media brought up with you when you had that session, Baker, with them the other day, they asked you about the UFOs. You said you saw a UFO, you and your wife, coming back home from dinner one night. You also mentioned, though, that you believe in Sasquatch. And I'm curious, have you seen a Sasquatch? Because UFOs are one thing, but a Sasquatch in the Cleveland area, I'm not from there. Chops can chime in about this. But I believe a Sasquatch sighting in the Cleveland area would be a little tough to come by. So I want to hear your thoughts on Sasquatch.
Cleveland isn't exactly Squatch territory, if we're going to be honest. So, I've always been a big fan of Sasquatch. So much that I almost had my brother plan my bachelor party to go up like northwest, like Oregon, Washington area. And we were going to go camping and try and find Sasquatch, but that didn't happen. So I don't know. I've just always been intrigued by it. I definitely do believe in UFOs. My whole family, pretty much every birthday or Christmas, there's some sort of gift with Sasquatch being involved. It's a pretty funny joke for them. They like to poke fun, but I enjoy it.
So what did you actually see that night, though? What did you actually see? Describe what you saw.
Yeah, so I'm driving. We have the music going, and Emily, my wife, is sitting in the passenger seat. She's on her phone. Nighttime, so it's dark. Like when you're looking down at your phone and the screen's bright, everything else is dark. Like that's all you can see. And so, music's going. There's just a giant like white gold circle going straight down, like perfectly straight. No, there's nothing trailing it. Like I've seen comets, I've seen shooting stars. This thing was massive, and going straight down. And where it was, like right over the hill by the lake. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I turned the music down and it even caught Emily's attention, even though she had the phone right there, because that's how bright and big it was. Turned the music down. We kind of looked at each other like, did you just see that? And like, oh my gosh, like we for sure just saw a UFO. And so put it out there, just kind of hoping that would have some responses of, you know, clarification that we weren't absolutely crazy. And I think just with everything going on, so many more sightings, you know, the Navy capturing something, you know, and yes, them saying, you know, it's real, and they have the same sightings too. It was a pretty shocking moment, because it wasn't like we were going out looking for them. It just happened.
Did you shoot Brady a text and say thank you for backing you up? Because Coward had to have been he just trolls you at this point. I'm pretty sure. I have no idea. He has to be just trolling you. But Brady got him really good with that tweet.
No, I definitely appreciate Tom coming in for the rescue on that one. It's funny to see, you know, because I know Aaron Rodgers is a believer too. I know that for a fact.
What are other NFL guys and believers out here? Who else is texting you in the UFO thread?
I pretty much at this point, I think most of my teammates are just giving me a hard time, so I'm not real sure. But it's funny to see the media people react in such a way that, like, I'm going out looking for UFOs instead of training. like, no, you jackasses, I'm still doing my stuff.
I was so that's the next thing Power's going to use against you, is that you're UFO searching.
He did. He did use it.
It's entertaining, but you know what? I've always been who I am, and if you don't like that, that's all right.
Baker, I know the contract stuff. I know you're going to let it play out, do you kind of thing, but is it on your mind at all? Like, say Josh Allen gets whatever in 2 weeks. Does that matter at all to you, or you're just like, you're locked in on yourself type thing?
No, I'm completely locked in, and I do genuinely mean that, because like I said yesterday to the media, if we win games, everything will take care of itself. And, you know, that's some of that stuff is out of my control, because it's so far down the road, and the agents and GMs and everybody else handles that. So if I play well and we win games, that's what matters. And, you know, that's the mentality that I've always tried to have. But I'd be real happy for Josh and Lamar. Obviously, they're two of the next guys in line, you know, timing wise for this next contract. But whatever happens, happens. I want everybody to, you know, be successful when it comes down to it.
Isn't it nuts that you're like, did you see the graphic that like the last like 10 number one picks, like you and before you, like none of the guys are on their team anymore, like quarterbacks?
I did find that pretty interesting. But I definitely am like the youngest one on that list when they did say that. So
yeah, of course.
So let me ask you this question though, Baker. How come at like half of the quarterbacks who are taking the first round are like out of the league in a handful of years? Can you kind of put your finger on why it's so difficult for teams to project these guys being successful, and why essentially if five quarterbacks can be taken in the draft, we're doing this the day before, a couple of days before the draft, but like two or three of these guys are going to be, you know, failure is kind of a strong word, but obviously aren't going to be around in 5 years. Like, why is it so difficult for teams to hit on these quarterbacks?
You know, every situation is different, and there's some bad ones there, that's for sure. And how you weather that storm, how you handle those challenges. And when it comes down to it, if you're a quarterback, however you say or lead, that's the way it goes. And so even if the rest of the building might not agree with you, if you are yourself and you show why you were picked that high or why you were brought to the town, and you show those things, and you get the guys in the locker room to believe around that, that's the most important thing. And every situation is different. There's everybody's got different agendas. And I just think it's not fair for me to directly compare, but there's some tough situations that guys walk into, but you have to be extremely mentally tough and strong to be able to weather those storms.
Can I just thank you for the Pittsburgh wildcard win? Like, that's not a question. I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome, Chops.
I was so nervous that entire game. I was tweeting and I was like, no lead is safe. You guys were up like 35-7. I was like, I don't believe I can't do it. I'm so nervous.
No, it was definitely fun. You know, it was different because, you know, our head coach wasn't there. We were missing a bunch of guys. So
it's crazy.
Very limited fans. So it was just like our locker room, like, was just like nobody's given us a chance, and we believed. And that was a fun one.
What's the outlook for this next season? What are we looking for? Obviously, you're already training. Are you guys going to get together, throw this summer, kind of do a little? Obviously, the NFLPA, it's like unclear on what's going to happen with that. But are you planning to get the guys together, type thing?
Absolutely. You know, we have to start that foundation to build to where we want to go. Excuse me. But it's for me, it's the notion of everybody's going to try and set expectations for us. But as long as we put the work in and take it one day at a time, I think when we look up in the end, I think we'll be where we want to be. But, you know, it doesn't just happen just because we have a talented roster with the same system and some continuity. We have to put the work in it and go accomplish it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Baker.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Baker.
See ya.
Appreciate Baker Mayfield for coming through. Hopefully they have a great season this year with Odell back. We'll see about that. Chops is not here to defend them, but I'm telling you, the Cleveland Browns will be going 17 games? They will be going 8-9 next year.
That would be a glorious, glorious thing, but I don't think it's going to happen.
We need
the Browns a little bit better than that. We need it. It'd be great. It'd be great for content. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they're better than that.
Yeah, they did get. Did they, Davion Clowney, that's official, right?
Yes. Unless my memory completely has failed me, I believe Jadeveon Clowney, yes, is part
good,
of
good for them.
The Cleveland Browns.
Good for them. Good for them. But yeah, we have a new segment to get to.
Wait, real quick, before we get to the new segment, is Baker Mayfield still a mid quarterback?
Yes, Baker Mayfield is still very mid quarterback.
Okay, just checking.
Great game manager.
Just double checking.
Just great game manager. He's in the elite tier of game managers. But in my opinion, game managers are mid because they can't dominate the game. But Baker, appreciate you coming on, my guy. Next time you come on, I have a little bit more smoke for you, guaranteed, once Chop sets it up. But we got a new segment to get into. You guys sent your hot takes via Instagram on Complex Sports on our IG story. And every week or any week we can get to it, we will answer and respond to some of your hot takes. We'll give you some Instagram clout. Number one, follow me on Instagram, Zion LJ, just my name, you know. Holler at me. You
can follow Shameless, disgusting plug as usual.
I'm giving you a plug too. Stop it.
I don't need one. That's okay, pal.
Because you're verified. He's verified. He wants to act all Hollywood and whatnot. But yeah, y'all sent in y'all takes. We're going to rate them. We're going to talk about them. And, you know, some of them are a little trash. I'm not going to lie. Some of them are trash. But we got to talk about
it. So put some people on blast here, pal. Let's go.
We got the first person. It's underscore at Essie, E-S-S-I-E. She says, Steph Curry is the MVP.
She is wrong.
She is very wrong. Steph Curry is not a top three candidate MVP.
He's a top five candidate. I'll give you that. I'll give you top five. Is Steph Curry is not the MVP. Yes, he is. He should be a top five.
Should he be?
Real quick, give me your top five MVPs real quick.
All right. Top five MVPs. Obviously, Jokic probably winning it, number one. Number two is Embiid. That's clear. Number three, I'm still putting Giannis in there because he's still – he's been the most durable superstar in the NBA. Number four. See, this is where it gets a little. I got to put one of the Chris Paul or Devin Booker. I got to put in there because
it
the
should
Suns,
be Chris Paul.
Chris Paul then, because the Suns have been ridiculous all year and they're overachieving and they're having a great season. So I think they deserve their flowers. The number five spot is where I'm going to. I think a Brooklyn Net deserves a top five.
No, just shut up. Shut the fuck up. No, this is Brooklyn Net deserves zero consideration for this award. Zero consideration.
It gotta be Kyrie.
None of them have played a fucking game. How does a Net deserve MVP consideration?
It gotta be Kyrie or Harden. They one of them deserve a spot because they've been dominating all year without each other. So like
a disgusting, deplorable take as usual from Young Zion.
You know what? But here's I didn't in my head. So this is on the fly. I'm just thinking of it. I would put Julius Randle over Steph Curry in MVP.
Debatable. Julius Randle should be in the top five. So good that you actually have some sense and wits about you and amended your top five MVP list right there. I'm going to give you mine real quick. Again, Steph Curry, definitely not number one, does not deserve MVP. It should be Jokic because he's been there the entire season, basically hasn't missed any games and putting up historic numbers. My number two would be Chris Paul, which some people may think is too high for Chris Paul, but the Suns have overachieved. Paul has been absolutely ridiculous. He's, what, 35, 36 years old? He shouldn't be doing this shit at this age. He's been incredible. Number three is Embiid. If he played more games, I probably would have him number one or really, really close to Jokic, like 1B, but he hasn't played enough games. Number four, I probably would take Steph here. And then number five, I'm going to put Julius Randle because I think he deserves that top five consideration. And I think he probably should be first team All-NBA.
Whoa.
If not, he definitely deserves second team All-NBA, but you can make a serious, serious consideration with Julius Randle first team All-NBA.
But my whole thing with Steph is Steph has been great. Steph has been unreal at points, but the Warriors still not winning.
No,
the Warriors just they're
I mean, they'd be atrocious without him. We all get that, but like, yeah. I mean, he hasn't lifted this team up the same way. And he doesn't have the help of some other guys. So you take it, you know, there's context involved here. But I'm kind of with you too. It's like the Warriors haven't been, have been incredibly inconsistent and really shitty as of late. And even though Steph's incredible run, like we haven't seen them skyrocket up the standings. So I want to value and give guys who have allow their teams to be safely in the playoffs, and in the Nuggets case with Jokic in the top three of the standings in the West, and still doing incredible shit. I mean, what are they, 9-1 since Murray left since Murray had the ACL tear? In that case, Jokic should wrap up the MVP as of right now, just off of that, off of losing his second best player and the Nuggets still keeping it moving. Jokic to me should wrap it up, and Steph Curry, I'm sorry, Instagram commenter, Essie, Steph Curry ain't the MVP.
Next one, we have Shrozzie, Shrozzie, 123. He says, Justin Fields should have gone second. I guess he meant before Zach Wilson. I agree. I agree.
I mean, there are plenty of value. Well, I mean, this depends on which NFL draft, professional prognosticator you want to believe in, and which guys who watch a shit ton of film you want to trust more than others. Some guys had Zach Wilson. I mean, Chris Sims of NBC had like Zach Wilson as his like number one guy over Trevor Lawrence. Other guys had Justin Fields ranked above Zach Wilson. I don't want to pick these guys apart because I've read so many goddamn mock drafts and evaluations of these guys that I'm sick of this. But I don't think your assessment based on Fields' over athletic ability and what he did at Ohio State. I think that's a legitimate statement to make. And there are plenty of Jets fans I can attest to that would have liked to have had Fields over Zach Wilson, but we'll find out.
Justin Fields is going to make y'all pay. I hope he makes y'all pay so bad.
Listen, the Jets always pick the wrong individual. So Zach Wilson will be an absolute failure and he will never attain any near superstar status because that's what happened when you become a Jets quarterback. So condolences to Zach Wilson and his family. You will probably fail miserably. I don't want you to. As a Jets fan, I'd love to see you actually succeed. But knowing the history of this franchise, misery happens inevitably. And he will be a failure. And the Jets, I'm sure, will be picking another top five quarterback in a handful of years, sadly. Because that's what happens when you play and root for the Jets.
J-E-T-S. Just end the season. Next sucks, up, we sucks, got sucks. D. D underscore Grenada. G-R-A-N-A-D-A. He says, the Bucks will get eliminated a second year in a row by the Miami Heat, this time in the first round. That's a hot take.
Why don't you tackle that one first there, pal?
The Bucks are right now in the 3 seed. I think the Heat are in the 6 seed, so that's the only way it's happening because I don't see the Heat dropping further for the rest of the year. That's a tough one. It depends on health. I think Victor Oladipo has to be healthy for sure. If you don't have Oladipo, you have no chance. The Heat have no chance. And the Bucks have way more help this year. It's not like last year's team. Like Drew Holiday was a great pickup for them. People were telling me yesterday that he locked up Kyrie. He did a solid job on Kyrie, but Kyrie, he didn't eat, bro.
Kyrie's going to get his against anyone in the NBA. It doesn't matter.
Once he has a full meal post-Ramadan, then, I'll judge it correctly. But I think the Bucks have the power to knock out the Heat this year. I don't think it's happening. I don't think it's the same Heat team either. But
I will say this. That statement is completely legitimate. Again, as we said earlier, until the Bucks actually do it and beat good teams in the postseason, we're not going to believe they can do it. And the Heat, despite all the struggles and the fact they barely had anyone in the lineup on a consistent basis, if they get some semblance of health and have a full complement of guys for what potentially could be, again, a 3-6 matchup in the first round, yeah, 100% they're live underdog. And I wouldn't be surprised if they picked him off either, because until Mike Budenholzer makes adjustments in the postseason, which he hasn't done with the Bucks in his first 2 years, it's probably more of the same. So, that's a legitimate upset that could easily happen. And no one would be surprised if that happened.
I don't think I don't even think it would be even close, because I think a big part of last year, if last year was outside of the bubble, I think the Bucks win that series. Because you're going to Milwaukee, you have the home court advantage, you have the travel and whatnot. And I think that all plays into, and also the bubble, you were just in the same gym every game, pretty much the same spot, shooting from the same spots on the court. You got the familiarity. I say the Bucks win in five this year. They'll win in five because it's a real playoff atmosphere a little bit. Not all the fans, but
It's significantly different. Listen, I think the closeness that the Heat had, allowing themselves to get kind of just enmeshed in the bubble, and obviously the Bucks were pretty distracted down the bubble for a lot of reasons, with all the stuff that was going on in Milwaukee and Kenosha last summer, or last fall, I should say. I think it'd be a little bit different this year, but don't discredit. Like, again, if Miami's healthy, they've barely been healthy at all this year. If they can get their shit together and have some semblance of health going into the postseason, they could be a really, really live underdog in the first round or two.
And I guess the last one we got is, I don't know how to pronounce this, Vadim.Touraine, VADIM.TOURAINE. He's got a hot take. He says, Aaron Rodgers is the QB GOAT when you disregard resume.
What the fuck does that mean, though? I need more context here.
I think he's kind of saying, if you take out the championships from Brady and go strictly based off of how they play as a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
Like, what? Are you talking like sheer talent as a quarterback?
I guess he's talking sheer talent. Arm talent.
I mean, if you're going sheer talent, then I could say Michael Vick is the GOAT quarterback.
No. Michael Vick had.
If you're talking singularly, like at their peak athletic skills and the talent they could bring to a game. Aaron Rodgers is an incredible, obviously, quarterback now for 16 years. He's done incredible stuff. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greats, and I think he should be considered the greatest quarterback in Packers history. But if you're going in sheer talent, again, we need more context in the comment to give this, you know, its proper, I guess, argument here. But if you're going in sheer talent, there's guys who have had way more just overall, again, talent with their running ability, their arm, like a lot of shit that you could technically put over Rodgers. But again, what metric and how specific are you getting when it comes to taking out resumes? We're missing some context here, but I could make a case talent-wise, especially when it comes to just sheer athleticism, that no, there's other guys that you would take over Rodgers in a one-on-one situation.
Who?
I said it. Like, again, depending on the argument here is
but if we're talking about but if we're talking about straight skill and talent,
yeah.
Who?
Again, I just named one.
Michael Vick is not more talented than Aaron Rodgers. Running wise, yes. His arm is no.
Vick is never going to come close. The resume and I get what he did in the NFL is never going to come close to Aaron Rodgers, 100%. But again, I'm just taking in a sheer vacuum in terms of his ability of him to put up incredible stats and make incredible, ridiculous plays with his feet and with his arm. Mike Vick, consider up there in terms of, you know, yeah, talent. But I get that, obviously, with how Rodgers has been incredible over 16 years and can pick apart defenses and decipher shit much faster and process information in ways few guys have historically. I get that. But athletically speaking, they're
this
plenty of guys.
Athletically, but athletically is for wide receivers.
Your boy Lamar Jackson, we can put up right there athletically.
Not
with,
over Aaron Rodgers.
Still pick Aaron Rodgers over Lamar Jackson. I get that. But I'm just saying, again, I'm kind of bastardizing this argument a little bit here.
Yeah. You're making it way more complicated.
I need more context here, pal.
You're talking about Michael Vick and Aaron Rodgers, bro.
Get specific in these Instagram comments, all right? Get mad specific.
Yeah, get specific. But you were wilding over there talking about Michael Vick if Aaron Rodgers can still run too. Like
he can't run like Mike Vick, pal. He can't run like couldn't run like Mike Vick.
He can't run like Vick, but he has Vick has 1/10, not even 1/50 of what the skill Aaron Rodgers has.
In the words of Colin Cowherd, I don't know, pal.
That is a certain. But thank y'all for sending. We'll probably do that every Sunday. Follow Complex Sports on Instagram. We'll put out the post on an Instagram story. Just send your comments, and we'll rate them and comment on them. But we definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in this week, even though our friend Chops was missing. And shout out to everybody that tweets at us and sends us message. Shout out to my guy Leo. I see you in the comments in my comment section often, Leo. Shout out to you. Hopefully you tuned in for this one. But yeah, we'll catch y'all later. Subscribe. Share, rate, and listen wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Hopefully we got a big guest lined up, Adam. Hopefully. The streets are saying the guest is pretty big.
You have a source?
I don't know. The streets saying that. But we'll see y'all next week.
We'll see if we come through.
We'll see y'all next week. Tune in. Take care. Stay safe.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.